Welcome to today's deep dive. You know, usually when you explore these massive sci-fi universes, there's this comforting expectation of moral clarity.
Right, the classic hero's journey setup.
Exactly. You want to find the good guys, you buy their merch, and you root for them. But our mission today is exploring a field guide to the factions of Warhammer 40,000. And, well, that moral compass isn't just broken, it is totally grounded to dust.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, going all the way back to its debut in 1987, the foundational rule of this setting is basically just that one famous line.
Right. In the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole vibe. Because you don't pick a side based on morality here. There are no good guys. You just, you know, pick whichever flavor of doom you find most aesthetically pleasing.
Okay, let's unpack this. We've got these three great blocks that divide the galaxy. You have the Imperium of Man, Chaos, and the Xenos, which are the aliens. And to really understand this universe, we have to start with the home team, humanity.
Hmm.
Because they are the largest and honestly the most tragic faction. It's like looking at our own species through the darkest possible lens.
It really is.
Yeah.
So the Imperium of Man is this massive, dying, million-world theocracy. And at the very center of it sits the Emperor of Mankind.
Who is like a literal corpse at this point, right?
Basically, yeah. He was mortally wounded 10,000 years ago. Now he's kept barely flickering on this failing life support machine called the Golden Throne, which is on old Earth.
And it's not just a hospital bed. His mind is actually projecting this massive psychic lighthouse, right? The Astronomicon.
Yes, the Astronomicon. It's completely necessary for space travel. Without it, ships would just get lost in the dark.
But the irony of this, and this just blew my mind when reading the source, is that the Emperor spent his entire active life trying to violently stamp out religion.
Yeah, he was all about secular reason.
Right. And now he's a corpse god worshipped by a trillion souls who sacrifice thousands of people a day just to keep him going.
It's the ultimate tragic irony. And that stagnation trickles down into everything. The Imperium is run by these massive separate bureaucracies called the Adepta.
Which they keep separate on purpose, right? So nobody gets too much power.
Exactly. But it also means nothing gets done.
Well, speaking of how things get done, especially the military side, I have to ask. Wait, so those 7-foot-tall, power-armored guys on the boxes aren't actually the main army?
Oh, that is such a common misconception. No, those are the Space Marines, the Adeptus Astartes. They are just a tiny elite scalpel.
Because there's only, what, 1,000 per chapter?
Roughly, yeah. They're these gene-engineered warriors created using something called gene seed. And there are all these different flavors of them.
Right, the sources mentioned the blue ultramarines who are super by the book.
Yeah, and then you have the vampiric red blood angels, the Viking-flavored space wolves, and the super secretive dark angels. Plus, you know, the recent bigger Primaris upgrades that came out. But they aren't the main force.
The actual hammer is the Astra Militarum, right?
Yeah.
The Imperial Guard.
Trillions of frightened, expendable humans.
Just handed las guns and flak vests and sent out to die.
Yep. And they have commissars standing right behind them, completely ready to shoot them if they try to run.
That is so incredibly bleak.
Yeah.
And the rest of the machine isn't any better. You've got the Adeptus Mechanicus, the tech priests of Mars.
Oh, they're fascinating. They treat technology as a literal religion.
Like begging machine spirits to run their city-sized titans because they don't actually know how the tech works anymore.
Exactly. And then cloistered back on Terra, you have the Adeptus Custodes.
Those are the golden armored bodyguards, right? Mm. Forged by the Emperor himself.
Yeah. The absolute elite. But then you also have the Inquisition, the secret police who hunt down heretics, demons, and aliens, the Ordo Hereticus, Ordo Militis, and Ordo Xenos.
And the Adeptus Sororitas, the Sisters of Battle.
Right, the all-female zealots. Their faith is so strong it manifests as literal miracles on the battlefield, usually accompanied by a lot of flamethrowers. Always flamethrowers. And the source uses this perfect metaphor to sum all this up. The Imperium is the protagonist faction only in the way a sinking battleship is the protagonist of a drowning.
Wow. Yeah, that really hits it. So if humanity is the sinking battleship, what torpedoed it? I mean, how did the Emperor end up as a corpse on a throne?
Well, that brings us to the second major block, Chaos. And to understand Chaos, we have to look at the wound at the very center of the lore, the Horus Heresy.
Right, back in the 31st millennium.
Exactly. The Emperor had these 20 superhuman sons called Primarchs who led the Space Marine Legions.
Oh, wait. And the lore mentions two of those legions.
Yeah.
The 2nd and 11th were totally erased from all records, right? Like a complete mystery.
Yeah, Games Workshop has intentionally left that as an unexplained mystery. history, so we only know about the 18. And the emperor's favorite, his brightest hope, was Horus. But Horus was seduced by chaos.
And that kicked off a massive civil war.
A galaxy-spanning one. Horus led 9 of the legions against the emperor. It left the emperor dying, and the surviving traitors basically fled into this massive warp rift called the Eye of Terror.
Where they're still fighting the long war today, led by Abaddon the Despoiler.
You got it. They've been at it for 10,000 years.
Okay, but what actually seduced Horus? Because here's where it gets really interesting.
It's all about the warp or the immaterium.
Right, this parallel dimension of raw psychic energy that's shaped by the emotions of living things. I mean, the best way I could wrap my head around it is it's like a galactic internet comments section given physical form.
That is, honestly, that's a brilliant way to put it.
Right. You pour enough rage or lust into it over millions of years, and it congeals into something that actually thinks and is very, very hungry.
And what's fascinating here is that these congealed entities, the 4 chaos gods or ruinous powers, they are not a team.
They fight each other, right?
Constantly. It's called the Great Game. First, you have Khorne, the blood god.
He just wants skulls.
Skulls for the skull throne. He doesn't care whose blood flows, just that it flows. Then there's Nurgle, the plague father.
This one is so unsettling. He represents disease and despair, but also like a weirdly cheerful love.
Yeah, it's the smothering endurance. His followers are rotting away, but they're incredibly happy about it. They feel loved. Then you have Tsiinch, the changer of ways.
The god of ambition and scheming.
Scheming that is so convoluted, he sometimes actually foils his own plots just to keep things interesting.
That's hilarious in a very dark way. And the fourth one?
Slaanesh, the dark prince of pleasure and excess.
So just taking everything way too far. And these gods feel demons and chaos space marines who genuinely feel like the emperor betrayed them, right?
Completely. They feel totally justified. So humanity and chaos are locked in this 10,000-year grudge match.
But they aren't alone, which transitions us to the aliens, the Xenos. Because the galaxy is full of them. And the funny thing is, everyone else thinks they're the main character.
Oh, for sure.
Meanwhile, the Imperium's official policy on all aliens is just total extermination.
Yeah, no diplomacy. Let's start with the Eldari, the space elves. They're basically a massive cautionary tale.
Because they used to rule everything, right?
Yeah, they were this ancient, hyper-advanced psychic race. But they partied so hard and their collective decadence got so extreme that they literally birthed Slaanesh in the 30th millennium.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Their partying created a chaos god.
An event called the Fall. It devoured their souls and actually tore open that rift, the Eye of Terror. So now they're splintered. You have the Asuriani, the Craftworlders.
To fled on those continent-sized ships.
Right. And they have to live in this rigid emotional discipline. They hide their souls in gemstones when they die to avoid feeding Slaanesh.
And on the complete opposite end, you have the Jukari, the Dark Eldar.
Yeah. Hiding in the dark city of Kamora. They act as vampires of pain, basically torturing others to stave off Slaanesh's hunger for their own souls.
Wait, there are a couple of other Eldari factions too, right? Like the Harlequins.
Ah, yes. The dancer warriors who serve Sigurok, the trickster laughing god, and the Inari, who worship a death god named Inyed, hoping it will one day kill Slaanesh.
Okay, I have to stop you here, though, because we need to talk about the orcs.
Yeah.
Reading about the orcs just brought me so much joy. Wait, let me get this straight. Their delusions become actual physics.
It is the best part of the lore, yes. So orcs are these green fungus-based bioweapons, and they organize around this concept called the YH.
Which is like a war migration, but also a collective psychic field.
Exactly. Because they all collectively believe something, reality just obliges. If an orc believes a red vehicle goes faster, it physically goes faster.
That is amazing. They are basically having a great time in this terrible universe.
They are the only ones having fun. But if the orcs are comedy, the Necrons are pure tragedy.
Android pharaohs.
Yeah. 60 million years ago, they were the Necron tier. They had a really short, painful life, so they made a pact with these energy gods called the Cetan for immortality.
And biotransference.
Right. But they were tricked. They became immortal, soulless metal robots, and the Cetan fed on their life force.
But they fought back, didn't they?
Their leader, the Silent King, realized the mistake. He shattered the Cetan into enslaved shards and put his entire race to sleep. Now they're waking up to reclaim the galaxy.
Okay, as cool as that is, the Tyranids actually make me shudder. You mean they aren't even a culture?
No, they're just an extragalactic swarm directed by a hive mind.
And they literally eat everything, like all biomass down to the bacteria.
Leaving just sterile rocks behind.
But the darkest part is they're advanced scouts, the gene stealer cults. They infiltrate human populations and worship the swarm as saviors.
For generations, they build these cults waiting for liberation.
And when the swarm actually arrives, the cultists are just eaten along with everyone else. As the source says, faith rewarded with digestion.
It's so brutal. And to round out the board, we have a couple of newcomers. The Tau Empire, for one.
The young, optimistic ones with the slick tech.
Yeah, they preach the greater good and actually prefer recruitment over conquest, which is rare. But this raises an important question.
Right, about their leaders, the ethereals.
Exactly. Is their rigid caste system genuine enlightenment, or is it just extremely good, maybe even mind control level propaganda?
Knowing this universe, I'm leaning heavily toward mind control.
Probably a safe bet.
Yeah.
And finally, the Leagues of Votan.
The space dwarves. The kin, guided by their ancestor AIs.
Yeah, and their meta history is so funny.
Because they were originally called Squats back in the 90s, got axed, and then were miraculously revived in 2022 after an April Fool's tease.
A true resurrection story in the 41st millennium.
Okay, so with the board fully set, so what does this all mean? Why do you, the listener, invest in a universe where the Imperium would burn you, chaos would unmake you, Eldari would sacrifice you, orcs would shoot you for fun, Necrons view you as a contaminant, and Tyranids just process you?
It really comes down to a kind of bleak, epic catharsis. In our media landscape, we are so obsessed with moral clarity and winning.
Finding the good guy.
Right. But 40K offers the profound relief of a universe where nobody can win. Every faction is convinced they are the last hope against the dark, completely blind to the fact that they are the dark.
The war can structurally never end.
Exactly. Everyone is losing, and it's glorious.
It really is. But I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to mull over. Building on that point about the Imperium's massive bureaucracy, the Adepta was deliberately designed to be separated so no single person could ever seize total power again after the Horus Heresy.
A defense mechanism against another civil war.
Right. But consider the result. You have a million world empire entirely paralyzed by its own structural paranoia. It is dying because it's too terrified of a new Horus to actually evolve.
It's just stagnant.
So is it possible that the Imperium's true ultimate enemy isn't the aliens or even the Chaos Gods, but simply its own red tape?
That is a terrifyingly mundane yet perfect way to look at it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Hopefully you figured out which flavor of doom you prefer. We'll catch you next time.